I spoke at recently at a university, and I asked the Gen Z students, I said, how many of you shopped vintage or pre-owned in the last month? And they all raised their hand. All 100 of them raised their hand. And I got all these like tingles because I was like, this is my people. Like they understand it, you know? And it's not just the younger generations. Like it's all generations. And it's really cool to see because it's one of the most resilient industries to be in. And we're lucky to be in it.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we hear from retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and on today's episode, we're talking to Emily Urquell, co-founder and CMO of pre-owned luxury wholesaler, Lapri. Now, we're going to talk to Emily about the resale landscape, evolving her business for today's demands, her team's focus for the coming year, and what the future of retail looks like. My colleague, Susan Redda, talked with Emily in July at the NRF Nexus program. Susan, please take it away.
Thanks, Bill. And welcome, Emily. Welcome to Retail Gets Real. We're so happy to have you. I'm really excited to talk with you this morning. So tell us a little bit about Lapri, how it works, and why it's evolved from the initial B2C version.
Sure. So, well, thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here. Lapri, wow, how did we evolve and who are we today? So today we are the largest B2B wholesale platform for retailers to source pre-owned luxury. It's a mouthful, but you think of us as the first tech platform that retailers can easily source pre-owned luxury from all over the world. And so, you know, it's been an amazing journey. It's been a long journey, too. Like you said, we were initially consumer-facing. Many, many years ago, our name used to be SnobSwap. Terrible name, but it was supposed to be very cutesy and tongue-in-cheek. You know, we weren't swapping anything. But my sister, Elise, who's my co-founder and our CEO, she and I started this company out of our own personal passion for vintage shopping and thrifting. And so many years ago, about like 8 or 9 years ago, we started SnobSwap. And it was a platform bringing the best vintage and designer consignment stores online. Think of it as like a Farfetch for vintage. And it was really cool. We had, you know, initially when we started, and that's so funny because I was telling someone the other night about how we started. We hired our developer who's amazing. He's still our CTO today. We got very lucky. We built the site. We launched it at 11 p.m. at night. And then we just watched to see what would happen. And we had zero visitors. Because that's not how you launch
oops.
Out. Yeah, oops. There's more to building a company beyond, you know, just making it go live. But it's funny because from the inception, we always knew we wanted to help business owners, especially, you know, stores, retailers. And we initially thought we wanted to help them to sell. So when we were, you know, teenagers thrifting and consignment shopping, we became friends with a lot of the store owners. And these friendships grew into, you know, us thinking, why isn't there a place to shop these amazing stores? And so that was the initial concept of SnobSwap back in the day. We had 500 different boutiques, some really amazing boutiques like Decades in LA, Ina's in New York. These are like famous vintage consignment stores, Michael's. You know, what we realized was they actually didn't need the help selling. They needed the help sourcing because a lot of the store communities, how they source is very piecemeal. So they would ask our team, like, can you help us find a pre-owned Louis Vuitton Neverfull bag? Can you help us source more Chanel Classic Flaps? Can you connect us to this store? Does this item on eBay look real? And it became really obvious that sourcing was very painful, very time intensive, very risky. And so what we did was about 3 years ago, we launched Lapri Wholesale. And so Lapri Wholesale is a marketplace for businesses to source from other businesses, and very simply put. And so whether you're a consignment store or you're a 2 billion plus e-commerce player that has pre-owned, or you're a wholesaler, or you're a rental business, they can easily come onto our platform and find a huge depth and breadth of inventory of pre-owned luxury that's global, but like globally sourced from like amazing suppliers that we thoroughly vet. And so our suppliers are B2B suppliers of pre-owned wholesale luxury, and our customers are retailers, you know, like I just mentioned, and we are just the connector because before they would either have to travel if they knew who to source from, it was spreadsheets, it was, if they didn't know who to source from, it was like eBay and risking it. And so we want to make it easy for retailers to, you know, source efficiently and at scale, and just make it a pain free process.
So you're talking about luxury products. What products? Primarily handbags, or is it a more diversified base of products?
Yeah. So most of our inventory is handbags, but we also have accessories. We have ready-to-wear. We're launching fine jewelry soon, and we're launching watches soon. So, and like, there's so many different categories we can go into and different verticals, but right now we're kind of focused on the pre-owned space. We haven't even touched sneakers or, like, you know, furniture or cars, or so there's, it's right now our focus is handbags and all the things like accessories, ready to wear, jewelry and watches.
So this is a true entrepreneurial journey, starting the business. What are some of the proudest moments you have, or and maybe turning it around, what is the moment where you thought, oh my God, we're never going to make this work?
Yeah.
And it has worked, you know?
Yeah.
That
I think when we were consumer facing, that was tough. I mean, we, you know, the concept was good, but what we didn't do, and that in hindsight I find a blessing, is we didn't raise a ton of money. Like a lot of the consumer-facing pre-owned businesses, the resale businesses have, they raised hundreds of millions of dollars. We raised seed rounds that were really tiny amongst friends and family because we want to keep it small, test the concept. And in hindsight, I am so thankful, because what happened is by testing and testing and testing, we found product market fit with Le Prix Wholesale, and their growth has been exponential. And so I'm so glad we didn't raise, and because we would be stuck doing a consumer-facing business. That's really hard, and we wouldn't have found what the true need of the industry for pre-owned really needs is. Like, they really need help sourcing. And you'll ask any pre-owned business owner, whether they're like the CEO of a, you know, large resale company or a consignment store owner that's like mom and pop, the hardest thing is getting the right supply. And that's like, that's the key to success, is having the right supply.
Right. And the right supply in resale means it's authentic. And I think that's at the heart of what Le Prix has made so amazing for its partners. So tell us a little bit about how you actually go through the process of authenticating a Birkin.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's the key to success, obviously, in resale, authenticity is like way up there. It's obviously, if it's not authentic, it's not good. It's we have a really strict process. And so, you know, you think of Le Prix and you think, oh, it's a tech platform and it's B2B marketplace connecting suppliers and retailers. But we have we're like tech plus services. And so a retailer sources on Le Prix. Let's say they buy a pre-owned Birkin 35 bag. First of all, we always ensure all of our suppliers are thoroughly vetted. We only hand select few suppliers, and then we allow them on our platform. We help, you know, put their inventory up. So we already know that they authenticated that bag or whatever they're selling 1 to 2 times. We know their process. We know their team. We visited their facilities. We know, you know, their offices. And so we already know it's authentic going up. But let's say a retailer buys that Birkin on our platform. They bid in one of our many auctions, or they buy on our e-commerce, like add to cart kind of part of our platform. However they buy, that item is confirmed, and then it's sent to our offices in Bethesda, Maryland. So we're right outside D.C. We have an amazing team of operations inspectors and authenticators. And so that Birkin then goes through an inspection process. We make sure it's as described. For pre-owned, that's like paramount, because for pre-owned, a good condition could mean so many different things. But we want to make sure it's as described, that there's not any like additional holes or scratches or mold. You know, there's some things that you find and you're like, no, this does not pass inspection. And so we ensure it's as described. And then we go through the authentication process. And so we partner with the best third party independent, like the gold standard of the authenticators in the industry. So for Hermes, it's like Baba Baby. For Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Entropy, Real Authentication. And the reason we partner is these businesses, that is their expertise. They sit on millions and millions and millions of lines of data, and they understand like the nuances of every single brand, to the point of, for example, like an Entropy device scans like hyper microscopic visuals. Like, you will take the device and you can scan the leather, the hardware, the stitching. You scan every piece of the bag, the serial number, if it's a Birkin, the date code, the atelier's initials. And so they can tell that a bag is authentic that way. And Plus, when you have the bag, and our team, they've seen so like millions of bags, they can like touch and feel and immediately know like something's off with this, but let me get a third-party authenticator to also validate, you know, if it's authentic.
You know, I think it's interesting because as a consumer, if I get burned on purchasing a what I thought was a vintage bag, I'm never going to shop that retailer again. I'm angry. But for you, you're dealing with much bigger client base, so you don't want the retailer to end up being the one who doesn't want to come back,
right,
or the partner who doesn't want to come back because of the mistakes in authenticating. So.
Right. And we've had there have been people who've suggested, why don't you just authenticate 10%, just like random 10%. And it's not part of our
all or
who
nothing.
We are. Yeah. Because every item has to be authentic because our reputation and our customer's reputation is fully reliant on authenticity guaranteed. And so we're really strict about it. Our suppliers are really strict about it. We touch and feel everything. And, you know, not only do we do that in our Bethesda office, but we also have a Paris office now that we opened last summer, and they do the same thing. And so for our European clients and for our U.S. clients and our global clients that go through our U.S. Office, everything is touch inspected and authenticated.
So let's turn the clock way back. What was it that made you get so interested in luxury and vintage? And was there at the time one thing that you thought, oh, it was so coveted that you wanted it?
Yeah, it was. Okay, so first, my co-founder is my older sister. So she's very influential when you're
of
a girl
course.
Growing up.
Yes.
And she loved vintage. I remember her bringing me to the first vintage store. At first, I was like, why would we buy something used? It was like that stigma back in the day.
Yes.
And then she showed me like not only the like beautiful Chanel vintage bags that, you know, the store had, but the price of it was like two-thirds or a third of what you would buy at retail. And back then, it was like, you know, I'm going to age myself, but it was like early 2000s. And it was like really exciting to like be able to like eventually think I could afford something like that, even from a vintage store. You know, I was pretty young. And so, you know, she was very influential, you know, and she still is to this day. I was in the corporate kind of career path. I did retail strategy consulting. I went to business school. I worked in-house at some luxury brands. I went to Gap and worked at Gap headquarters in San Francisco in the strategy group. And the whole time we were like ruminating on this concept, then we launched it on the side. And she's like, go full time with me, go full time with me. She's like, do it. And I'm like very risk averse. Like I attended zero entrepreneurial classes at Columbia Business School because I had no like desire to be an entrepreneur.
Like, no, that won't be me.
I was like, that's too risky. I'm like, I won't ride roller coasters. I'm kind of scared of flying. And so, but she convinced me because like, you could see how much potential and opportunity. And I realized like it was where my passion lied. And that's kind of where we ended up.
Perfect. Perfect. So what are you focused on right now with Le Prix? Where is the business at now? And where do you want to take it over the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, we're focused on smart growth, scalable growth, but in a very profitable way. So a path to profitability, making sure that we're growing categories that make sense, growing our team, hiring the right people, scaling smart in a very smart way. And I think that's important. So, you know, with the general kind of macroeconomics and like the roller coaster that's like been the last year or so, I think that's probably where a lot of, you know, business leaders are thinking. And so for us, it's, you know, at one point we're like, okay, maybe we'll raise a Series A, but then we're, you know, and we had all like metrics to be able to, and we were totally, you know, we had line investors, and it would have been fine. Macroeconomic situation kind of turned. And so we were like, you know what, let's figure out how to grow in our smart way and just run our business. And so that's where we are today. And so I feel like the challenges are actually blessings in themselves. Like, maybe like 9 years ago, if we had raised, we wouldn't be here where we are today. And same thing now, like we're in a place where I feel like very fortunate that we're focused on the right things. We're getting our business organized. We're like growing really well. Our clients are growing well, which is like what makes me so happy to hear. Like when our clients do well, and especially when our clients, like either they launch pre-owned or they're growing their business, doesn't matter if they're 2 billion plus e-commerce player or they're a small mom and pop, like just hearing that they're able to achieve that, it just like, it brings me joy. Yeah.
You said that as an entrepreneur, you initially were risk averse. But what would you recommend to somebody who's out there with a great idea right now? How can you encourage them to just step in and make it happen?
Yeah, I would say do the homework. So make sure that you understand like the market, you understand the customers, you understand the demand, but don't get stuck on it. If you in your gut know that, you know, this idea is going to be a highly successful idea and you do your research and you did your homework, then just do it. Because my sister actually reminded me of this quote. Our grandma used to say, time waits for no one. And so the worst regret you'll have is not doing it. You win, you lose every game you don't play. You know, you hear all those different quotes, but it's true. Like if you don't try, you'll never know. So at least say like you tried, because there's no losing if you said you tried your best.
Yeah. Where's the customer's appetite right now for luxury? Because obviously we're in an economic ebbs and flows. As somebody who's looking primarily at that customer base, are they still buying?
They're still buying. They're buying differently.
Way to go, Emily. That's
but they're
what you
buying.
Want.
They're definitely buying. And it's so funny how they're buying too. So like during the pandemic, there was like a boom of just, you know, a flurry of customers buying everything, even obviously pre-owned. And so like I give the example of like a year ago, we could not keep a pair of Chanel gold earrings on our platform in stock for long because it was so hot and everybody wanted it and they're paying a premium. And then that kind of like ebbed and flowed. And now people are looking at like different things. They're looking at more unique vintage styles. They're looking at more investment bags being like, we call them like the Holy Grail, Hermes, Chanel, Louis Vuitton, and the core styles of those because they hold their value. And like, you know, it's funny because there is different like kind of industry trends, product trends, but there's definitely a strong consumer appetite and it continues to grow. I mean, millennials and Gen Z, I spoke at recently at a university and I asked the Gen Z students, and I said, how many of you shopped vintage or pre-owned in the last month? And they all 100 of them raised their hand.
It is so hot. Yep.
And I got all these like tingles because I was like, this is my people. Like they understand
absolutely.
It, you know. And it's not just the younger generations. Like it's all generations, and it's really cool to see because it's such a great industry for like sustainability. The customers welcome often the discount because, you know, during tough times, resale still grows because they're looking for a good deal and a good value. And so it's one of the most resilient industries to be in, and we're lucky to be in it.
So, Emily, we're here at NRF Nexus, and I just wonder, what do you hope to take away from this event?
I would love to meet other retail leaders. It's really interesting to hear what they're working on, different initiatives and projects. If we end up finding some partners, that's great, but I'm looking for more just kind of cross-sharing of knowledge and maybe make a few friends.
Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds good. What's that one piece of advice that you always offer? You shared your grandma's advice, and I think that's amazing. Is there a quote on your desk that is your go-to?
Yeah, or? This is the quote on my desk.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Time waits for no one. So Amma is grandma in Taiwanese. So it's always on my, every time I change my notebook, I always have this quote. It just reminds me of, life is short. You got to do what you're passionate about and go after it hard.
Sounds great. Emily, thank you so much for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I'm going to throw it back to Bill.
Thanks, Susan, and thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about this episode at retailgetsreal.com. I'm Bill Thorne. This is Retail Gets Real. Thanks for listening.